Hey there, friend. Welcome back to the show. This is Hope in Him Today. My name is Gary Miller. It is good to have you here. If you've got your scriptures on you, and you always should, that's just what we default to here. Go to 2 Nephi chapter 31. This entire chapter, by the way, while you're turning, is just loaded. We could go line by line on this thing for a few weeks and not even crack the surface of how much is here. It is powerful. But while you're turning, couple housekeeping items. First of all, thank you for being here. Man, don't ever let me get so fancy that I don't stop and say thank you. There's a million and one podcasts you can hit play on, and you're hitting play on this one a lot. And so many of you hit it on these episodes as soon as they come out. Thank you so much for doing that. Thank you for being with us and kind of having this long-distance digital fellowship together with people. What I love about it is across the spectrum of faith, we got folks from, obviously, there's a lot of Latter-day Saints out there, so I'm grateful for you. But there's people that come from kind of the world that we were in before we got here, and man, there are Baptists listening, Pentecostals and non-denominational folks, and people that are wrestling with faith, and people that are on fire and jumping the pews. I mean, we got it all based on the emails I receive and the DMs I get, and I'm just so grateful for the mixture of that fellowship, the mixture of perspectives, and man, it helps me, and I hope it helps you too. So thank you for being here. And the second thing is, I just want to thank a very, very special thank you to those of you that have taken the time to go out to hopeinhimtoday.com and support the show. I know some people get a little squirrely around, oh, why would you donate to a podcast, or why would you do that? And they can run into all kinds of topics there. But I tell you, it just helps us to do the basics. You know, we're not out buying Lamborghinis on donations. That's not how this works. Helps us with our hosting, and as more downloads come, we have to buy more bandwidth with the podcast hosts and that kind of stuff. So it helps us offset some of that stuff, right? It just helps us out. So for those of you that have taken the time to go out there and do that, some of you set up like, you know, 5, 10, or 15 bucks a month and you just leave it on auto and it happens every month. Thank you. For those of you that do one-time donations, some of you really blessed us with that. And man, we appreciate it. So if you've done that, if you've gone out to hopeinhimtoday.com and made a donation of any kind, big or small, it doesn't matter if it's $5 a month or if you sew a one-time kind of deal of $500. It helps us, and we appreciate it. And I know some of you are not comfortable being named by name on that. I am replying. I haven't gotten in there in a while. I'm going to go in there and respond personally to those that have done that, because I'm just really grateful for it. And thank you for supporting us, most especially in your prayers and especially in sharing it out, but also hit and donate every now and again. That helps us too. And if you feel led to do that, man, we would appreciate that. You can do that at hopeinhimtoday.com, and you can do one-time stuff, big, small. You can do a monthly thing. You can completely control it. And if you've done that before in some of the previous iterations of the show, but you haven't gotten around to doing it with this new version, hey, I'm no shame in my game. I'd ask you to turn that back on this new version. It would really help us so much. So thank you for doing that. Okay, can we get done with the housekeeping? Let's get into the Word, which is much more important. 2 Nephi 31, and I want to look, and as I said, I really feel like I'm doing a disservice because there is so much in this chapter. This is a highlight fest. Like in this particular version of the triple that I'm marking up for my middle daughter Abigail, I'm running out of highlighter, and I'd already marked this one up a while ago. This particular section, there's just so much here, but I want to focus in on verse 19, knowing that there's a lot more in this chapter. Okay, but let's look at 19. Here's what the Word says. And now, my beloved brethren, after ye have gotten into this straight and narrow path, I would ask if all is done. Behold, I say unto you, nay, for ye have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. And I want to minister today to you for just a few moments on the subject of unshaken faith. Now, we might get to shouting. I taught this entire chapter to the family this morning in our morning Come Follow Me study. And I mean, it was the Book of Mormon in my hand and the Book of Mormon I was preaching, but it sounded an awful lot like Narrowgate. If you slam those things together, it was like the the Narrowgate Baptist Book of Mormon Church. It was awesome, man. I just love this scripture so much, and I just have such a strong heart for the Book of Mormon, as you know. And man, when I read stuff like this, I'm like, this is what I'm talking about. If you want to find a book, if you can find a book that points to Jesus more than this Book of Mormon, I'd be all ears. But I don't think it exists. It's right here in these precious pages. But let's break this down one thing at a time. It starts by saying, and now, my beloved brethren, after you've gotten into this straight and narrow path, can I just, this is not the topic of my message. This might be a micro devotional here, but let me just say this. That straight and narrow way, what we know is that when you and I are in the will of God in whatever area it is of our life, marriage, money, you know, family stuff, relation stuff, church stuff, business stuff, work stuff, whatever, health stuff, when we're in the will of God in there, we're standing in the center, we're where we need to be, what we know is that that is going to be a straight path. Now, straight paths can be painful at times. It can test you, stretch you, pull you, wear you out sometimes, man. Growth is hard, and sometimes this journey of progression, whoo, it feels like we're getting punched in the face. But let me tell you something. It is straight. And whenever I read this, I'm reminded that whenever our path is getting herky-jerky and all over the place in an area of our lives, friends, more than likely, we're not in the will of God in that area at that time. And that should really drive us to the secret place of prayer and repentance and leaning on the Scripture and leading on the guidance of the Holy Ghost and leading on the word, leaning on the words of those that teach us and say, okay, man, how do I get back into the will of God in this situation? Because when we do, we'll start to notice that that road straightens out. Now, I didn't say the road would be without bumps. I didn't say the road would be, you know, unicorns and rainbows and happy dust everywhere. No. There's going to be some challenges. But I would suggest if you look back over your life, and I look back over mine, when we see areas where the road and the path got super herky-jerky and we're over here and then we're back there and we're 10 steps forward and 9 steps back and it's all over the place. Remember what Paul told us in the New Testament, right? God's not the author of confusion. He was directly referring to worship and service, but I think it's just in our life in general. So if we're getting herky-jerky and it's confusing, I think it is the number one indicator that we're out of the will of God and we better get in it. But let's keep going. I just think that's a promise inside the larger promise here. He said, I would ask if all is done. Now, you've gotten into this path. You're walking with Jesus. You've believed. You've repented. You've been baptized. You've received the Holy Ghost. Are you done? And I love, that's a great question. Am I done now? No. Here it says nay. We know that means no. No, we're not done. You know, a conversation I have all the time with people that are outside of my particular faith group and persuasion is a lot of people get all hung up about works and doing and you know, they'll try to march out things like Ephesians 2:8 and 9 to me and say, well, see, it's by grace through faith, and that, you know, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. And why are you guys depending on works? And da, 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 da. I said, no. We depend on Jesus, which is at the end of this verse. I'll get to preaching that in a minute. Because I so solely depend on Jesus, and I'm depending on his strength and his merits and what he accomplished at Calvary. Now, because of that, I want to go out and do something with that. Because I think the best reflection of belief is to do something with what you believe. And so when we have this question here, listen, behold, is it done? No, it's not. When are you and I finished? Well, I guess when we take our last breath, but then we're going to get the party started on the other side of things. So look, we've got stuff to do. Never let the seduction of complacency introduced by the enemy get so far into your life that you get stuck and you stop doing. We need to keep going. It says here, behold, I say unto you, nay, for ye have not come thus far, save it were by what? The word of Christ. Friends, if you and I have made any progress in our life as believers, the only reason we have is because of Jesus and because of the words of Jesus found in the Scriptures. If you've made any progress, that's because of Jesus. That ain't because of you. If I've done anything right today, as a father, as a husband, as someone out here preaching the gospel to every creature that I can on a simple podcast, well, if I've done anything right, it's because of Jesus, because I've got the word of Christ and I've got the presence of the Lord in my life. And man, if anything's going well, it's because of him. If we've come this far, it's because of him. Give all the glory to Jesus. You'll never get yourself in trouble if you do that. But when you and I start giving glory to ourselves or to our checklist or to our stuff or to the thing we do or the thing we don't do, and then, oh, by the way, Jesus is involved, we get that order wrong. You hear me talk about this all the time. You say, why do you talk about that so much? Because I see it so much in my own life and I see it in others. So you would not have come this far. Hey, don't forget how far God has brought you. Don't forget how far God has brought you. How far you've come. Man, you were stuck in that miry clay full of sin, busting hell wide open. Look how far he's brought you. Look how far he's brought you in your finances, in your health, in your marriage. Boy, you can look back at a season in your marriage where you thought, man, I don't know if we're getting through this. Man, that was tough. Did he bring you through? Yes. And if you're in it right now and you go, man, I don't know, Gary, if he's going to bring me through, just look at his record. Can we look at God's track record and say, where is that published? Well, that's published right in the scriptures. And if you look at his track record, he does not fail. He's going to bring you through. Don't forget how far he's brought you. Man, don't let the enemy make you think that you're completely stuck. You're not stuck. And don't let the enemy convince you that God ain't listening. He's very much listening. Look at his track record. And if you haven't experienced some of the promises of his track record in the scriptures, keep leaning in by faith. What does it say over and over and over and over again in the Book of Mormon? According to their faith, right? You keep leaning in, he's going to show up. Say, but we're by the word of Christ with unshaken faith in him. Now, you and I know the world's going to shake us up. The world's going to shake us, man. You're going to get you can get shook medically. You can get shook in your finances. You can get shaken up in church in a bad way. Somebody says something stupid to you and rubs you wrong and knocks you upside down. All that stuff happens. Come on, welcome to humanity. You know, don't you be too hard on everybody else because they said something dumb to you. I promise you, friend, if we go back and look at your transcript, you said something dumb too. Boy, I'm sure glad that we can't cite our transcript of life because, man, when we're busy shouting everybody down for saying dumb stuff, can you imagine if somebody could control F and search our transcript? See how many dumb things you and I have said, right? So we can get shook in all kinds of ways. Your faith can be, you can have your faith shaken or tested. It's like sometimes life comes along, grabs you by the shoulders, and it's shaking you. That's real. All of us can point to some shaking moments in our lives. But notice it says here that we're unshaken in our faith in him. Yeah, life may be grabbing us by the shoulders and shaking all these areas, but the one thing that's unshakable is our faith in Jesus. Because if that's unshakable, then all the things can shake us all they want, but they're not going to win. They're not gonna shake us completely loose. They're not gonna defeat us. We have victory. Why? Because of Jesus. And so we are having an unshaken faith. But I wanna warn you about something today. I think you need to be on the lookout for faith shakers. I need to be on the lookout for faith shakers. If there are people that are trying intentionally to shake your faith, you need to reject them out of hand. I mean, just reject them completely. You said, well, you know, I want to make sure that we are graciously disagreeing. No, 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 no. You graciously reject. Because there's too many faith shakers in this world. I mean, if you go on social media between YouTube, TikTok, IG Reels, Facebook, Reddit, there's people whose whole lot in life is to, their whole thing is to try to shake your faith. And friend, when you see that, you need to reject it. Can we pop over to the New Testament real quick? Just go over to Titus chapter 3. I love the book of Titus. Titus chapter 3, verse 10, it says, a man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition, reject. Reject it. You and I can have no room in our lives for people who are deliberately and intentionally setting out to shake people's faith. And friends, you see this, don't over-personalize this. This isn't just people, for instance, taking shots at Latter-day Saints. This is people taking shots at various denominations, people that are our brothers and sisters in Christ. They might have a different name on the door of their church. They might worship in a slightly different way, but let me tell you, or a very different way, but let me tell you, if people are trying to throw shade and shake their faith, we reject that. Because, friends, we cannot voluntarily allow resources and inputs into our lives that are going to shake our faith in the one person that saves, and that's Jesus. And so you got to be very, very careful. Listen, what's the Bible says? It says, come out from among them. Touch not the unclean thing. Don't let that thing come across your TikTok three times, throwing shade, for instance, on the Book of Mormon. Don't let that come across you. Reject that faith shaker. Now, that doesn't mean we're ugly. That doesn't mean we go into comments. You ain't going to change anybody's minds in comments. If you really want to do something for that person, one, you're doing it for yourself because you don't want to be shaken in your faith. And let me tell you something, friend. Your flesh isn't strong enough. You let enough people and enough clever arguments get in front of you, it'll mess with your head. But two, the best thing you can do for that person is get their name coming out of your mouth in the secret place of prayer. And you pray that the Lord will touch their heart and move them to a place of connection with Jesus. Not that they'll be just like you. Not that they'll agree just like you. Not that they'll come on your page and say, oh, I'm sorry that I said all the bad things. No. You just pray that the Lord will deal with them in a way that they can be connected deeply and personally to Jesus. And man, what a great blessing that is for them, right? But we can't have that stuff come across our world and go, oh, no problem. We just, you know, we see things a little differently. Amen. No. No, this is differently than seeing things differently, right? This is different than that. This is a matter of we will not voluntarily test how much our faith can be shaken. Remember, life's going to shake you. You can get bad things on a blood test. You can wake up and have fraud in your ATM card and your debit card. Man, you lose some money and you got to fight to get it. You can have a big tax bill that you didn't expect coming. You can have all kinds of things. You can have a child that's gone wayward and you're trying to figure out what's going on. Life can shake you. That's going to happen. A lot of that we can't control. We just got to try to walk in grace as we go. And we're gonna walk in this last promise of this verse here, which we're going to get to in just a minute. But there are things that we are allowing into our space, friends, and we do it enough, it's going to shake our faith. Not because it's right. Not because the argument being made is so sophisticated, scholarly. Goodness gracious, with the scholarly. No, that it's not that. But it's death by a thousand cuts. You keep listening to these little things, and the enemy will get in there and start doing what the enemy's always done, asking questions. Hath God really said? This is often, these people that are shake your faith will often do this under this really sinister guise of, well, you know, we're just asking questions. Well, you know, who was the first person back there asking questions in the garden? You know, to Adam and Eve. Asking questions like, who was asking the questions that was throwing shade on the Word of God? Hath he really said? So when people are doing that today, trying to shake your faith, where do you think that's rooted in? Friends, it's wicked. Call it what it is. It's wicked if you're trying to shake the faith of anybody. Regardless of their denominational persuasion, don't let this into, don't tolerate it. Reject it. Now, you can reject gracefully. The best way to do it, like on TikTok, for example, is hold the screen down till the little thing comes up and you hit not interested. And you don't spend time there. You don't let that. What did David say? Psalm 101:3, I think, if I'm quoting the right psalm. I will set no wicked thing before thine eyes. Right? I'm not going to set anything before my eyes that's wicked. Or before my ears that's wicked. People trying to shake your faith in Jesus, that's wicked. It's not I'm asking questions. That's such a cheap cop-out. I'm just asking questions. Let's take our questions to Jesus. Amen. Let's take our questions to the scripture. Amen. Let's take our questions to what we've been taught for years and years and years by people who are actually pursuing Jesus. How about we do that? We want to have an unshaken faith. Again, we can't go through life unshaken, but our faith in Him can be unshaken. Now, I've been real hard on the people that are in the world doing this, but friends, you got people inside the church that do this. And I say the church, I'm speaking more universal church right now in terms of any denomination. So don't overpersonalize it when I say this. But you've got people in the church that'll do this. Try to shake your faith in Jesus by making it about everything else but Jesus. If somebody's getting up in their talk, their lesson, their meeting, their sermon, their small group, whatever it is, conference, revival, fill in all the blanks here. And if they're getting up and they're trying to make it about a bunch of other things, and the name of Jesus, the person of Jesus, the principles of Jesus are nowhere to be found, friend, they're trying to shake your faith in Jesus, whether they know it or not. There are those that are completely obvious about how they do this. When you're scrolling through your Instagram reels and somebody pops up talking about, you know, how you're in a cult and here are the seven reasons why. It's that, but it's also the person that's behind the pulpit sometimes, looks like you, dresses nice and sits in the right place, but they give a talk that is all about a bunch of other things that has nothing to do with Jesus. That's a problem, friend. That person's shaking your faith or attempting to just as much as the content creator telling you the seven reasons you're in a cult. You need to be careful. Don't let anybody shake your faith in Jesus. Who should I fellowship with? Who should I be friends with? Who should I be connected with in my church? Well, look for the people that will not try directly or indirectly to shake your faith in Jesus. Amen. Here's my favorite part. Relying wholly upon. How much are we relying on? Wholly. Completely. How much are we relying on again? Well, look, it's like 70% Jesus, but you know, I got 30% of this stuff I do, and we work together, and that's how we create this. No, that's not what the scripture says. Some of y'all read past this stuff a little too fast, because I can tell you do by the way you talk. You're still talking about all the things you've done. This is what I've done. This is what I don't do. These are the things I've made. These are the things I keep. Mm-hmm. Relying wholly upon the merits of who? Jesus. Wholly upon the merits of Him who is mighty to save. Who's mighty to save? Jesus. Who's mighty to save you? Not just in what we think of as the traditional salvation context, but He's mighty to save you in everywhere. He's mighty to save the marriage. He's mighty to save the money. He's mighty to save the relationships. He's mighty to save your business. He is mighty to save. And we rely wholly upon His merits. And because of that, now we can go out and try to do things with this faith of ours. We can try to do things. We are now empowered by the real power of Jesus to go do stuff. To go do the works. To go make the covenants. To go do the things of Christian discipleship. But friends, we do it because we're relying wholly on Him. I'd be real careful when you start thinking about merit and worthiness. Because you got to be real, real careful here. They say, are you worthy? No. I've had to give this answer more than once. Do you think you're worthy to do X, Y, or Z? No, I don't. I'm not worthy, but I am very familiar with and acquainted with the one who is, whose merits are mighty to save. And I believe on Him, and my faith is firmly fixed on Him and His finished work. Which now gives the Holy Spirit latitude to work in my life for me to go and try to talk better to my wife and try to have a little more patience with my kids and how to try to follow the scripture a little bit better. Amen. Are you seeing that? Let's be careful. Let's be real, real careful when we think about worthiness, merit. You say, man, are you worthy? No. Are you? No. And don't think because you do certain things you are worthy. That's not what that means. We're doing those things ideally, and we're able to do them better than we did yesterday because we're wholly relying on the one who is worthy and mighty to save, Jesus. So am I worthy? No, but Jesus is, and I know him. So he's sponsoring me in. He's talking on my behalf. He's representing me. He's got my power of spiritual attorney. He is referencing or he is representing me because I can't go in by myself. I need someone to sponsor me in. He's sponsoring me in because of what he has done, his work that is finished, what he has accomplished, his merit. Want to always fail? Rely on your merits because you can't string it together long enough. Neither can I. Good luck trying that. This is the week. I'm going to go through this whole week, and I'm never going to lose my patience. I'm not losing my patience this week. Good luck. You're going to. If you've got a family and kids, you'll lose your patience before breakfast is done on Monday morning. Amen. But if I'm going, you know what? I'm just leaning on the, man, I'm leaning on the finished work of the Savior because I know I can't do a thing without him. And he's got the merits to save me and save me in this morning routine with the kids and the crazy. I'm trusting him. And guess what's going to happen now? Now my orientation is firmly fixed there. I'm going to have an ability from on high. I'm going to have new patience that I don't understand. I'm going to have things that passeth all understanding, right? I'm going to be able to navigate it better, a little bit better, hopefully, not perfect, than I did the day before, because I'm relying on him. And when we truly, now we work the verse backwards, if I'm truly relying wholly upon the merits of him, Jesus, who is mighty to save, then I will have an unshaken faith. And I solidify that faith through his words, through the word of this scripture. And by doing so, it will keep my path and your path straight. Amen. Give that some thought today in the secret place. I know that you'll find something there. I'll see you next time.